Morning. New tech. Hey, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And, you know, as I started preparing for this message, and earlier this week, I was pretty sure God was laying on my heart, let's talk about King David. I thought that'd be pretty cool, right? So as I progressed through the week, God starts pulling me different directions. And I'm like, no, God, I'm going to dig my heels in here. I want to talk about David. Guess who won? Not me. Not me. God's plan is better than Matt's plan. And, you know, as I was preparing, one of the things I studied this week was the different ways you can encourage men towards Christ-centered models, being Christ-centered models of God's love, God's character, God's devotion. Because all those things, you know, the saying, I'll throw the saying out there, anyone can be a dad, but it takes a lot to be a father. You know, biologically, we can become dads and not be good fathers. I am so thankful to be involved in a church where I have great examples of what it means to be a father. And listen, you don't have to have your own biological children to be a father. I think most of us were blessed with our own biological children, that we're able to be a father to our own. But I think we need to, as men, we need to understand that our job, when our kids leave the nest, our job as a father is not over. I would contend our job as a father begins at that point. Because I think we're a dad until we get them out of the house. We've prepared them. We teach them. We mold them. And then when they leave, we become a father because we, you know, when we talk about God the Father, that is many, many things. But the biggest thing we need to understand about God the Father is how much He loves us. You know, and I could say John 3:16, and we're going to leave on that passage. But I think we're going to go a little deeper today. And I have four things that I think the Scripture is telling us about fathers. And you could probably probably expand this to 100 things, okay? But I'm going to focus on four things today because I think God is pulling me that direction. So we're going to start in Luke today, and we're going to be jumping around quite a bit. But the first thing I want to talk about is the Father heart of God. In Luke 15, we all know this passage. We all experience this passage. But this is kind of what I was talking about when I said we become a father when our kids leave. Luke 15:11-32. And it's the parable of the prodigal son. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And as a father, thankfully, I've never really had to experience losing one of my children to that. Many of us here have. We've seen how that plays. We've seen how that works. But I can tell you this, as a father, there would be no greater cause for celebration than one of mine coming back to the way. And I'm not talking about to me. I'm talking about back to the way of the cross, back to the way of the Lord. And I think this is important because as he was telling this parable, there was a lot of foreshadowing in the Bible. And I think this, Jesus was going to foreshadow, listen, my Father sent me away, sent me here. And he is going to celebrate when we all come back home because of what he sacrificed for each and every one of us. The heart of a father never changes. Kids, you don't have a free pass, young people. You don't get a free pass. But understand, no matter what you do, your father is not wired to turn his back on you. It's not going to happen. He can be mad. Delaney, dad can get mad because you do dumb things. Bo, dad can get mad because you do dumb things. But you know what? At the end of the day, dad's going to be in your corner. Now, the moms are going to worry about that the whole time. You know, the fathers, they're going to take it for what it's worth. And they're never going to stop loving you, supporting you, and moving on. That is the heart, the fathers that are at the heart of God. So that's point number one. Point number two, The power of a father's presence. We all know people we know that grew up without a father. We know people that different situations have caused fathers to be separated from sons. I am so thankful that I don't have to deal with any of that. You know, I'm lucky. I have a really good relationship with all three of my daughters. I have a really good relationship with my father. I have a really good relationship with my father-in-law. I had a really good relationship with my grandfather. I had a lot of men mold me into what I am today. Now, some of them didn't get to see where God was taking me. You know, my grandfather passed away before I ever got up here on the stage to preach God's word. But my father and my father-in-law have been here a couple times when I preached, and you know, not too many times do I remember my father being emotional. And one of those times, after a message I preached, and I didn't do anything special, and he grabbed a hold of me and he hugged me and he said, "You know, it's amazing what you're doing." And for me, that was I don't know, justification that I'm doing the right thing by following what God wants me to do. Because, you know, my dad was the guy that at home, he would come home from work and he would throw baseballs with Todd and I out in the yard. And he was the guy that sat on the bucket. And if his short little arms couldn't reach the pitch, he didn't move. He didn't jump off the bucket. He didn't stand up. And you know what we had to do at that point? Not once in my lifetime did Dad ever get up off that bucket and go chase that ball. He'd point his thumb, and we'd go pick it up. And you know what that taught us to do? It taught us to make sure we pitched to where the catcher could catch the ball, because we got tired of running after the ball. So my dad was a father of hard lessons sometimes. Not much different than the God I serve, because sometimes I have to go through some growth process. Let's get into this. Luke chapter 1. It's just one verse. And it's verse 17, and Julie probably has it up. "And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." What we need to understand as fathers is we are not just preparing our kids to graduate high school. We are not just preparing our kids to move out of our house. We are preparing our kids for the kingdom of heaven that's coming. Where we fail is sometimes we wipe our hands and we think it's too hard, and we stop preparing our children and our young people for the kingdom that's coming later. It says it right here. The wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Our job as men is to make sure that our people are prepared for what is to come. And sometimes we get so caught up in the logistics of life today that we think, okay, we got to get them prepared for college. We got to get them prepared for boot camp. We got to get them prepared for marriage. We got to get them prepared to get them out of the house. Guys, what we got to be shooting for is getting them prepared for the second coming of Christ and for the kingdom that awaits us. Let's go to Joel chapter 1, verse 3. Did I write 13? No, it's 1, verse 3. Might have to look that up, Julie. There it is. Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children to another generation. So fathers, I want you to understand that things that you're telling your kids today or yesterday, if they're older, they are now telling their children, and then their children will tell their children. And we could tell them, we could tell our kids a lot of things, right? And if you've never, if you don't believe this verse, think about something your dad told you. You know, for me, you know, there was a lot of things. But one of the things my dad instilled in me is, if your mother cooks it for supper, you're going to eat it, or you're not going to eat. Well, there was nights I didn't eat. Liver and onions is not my favorite. Mom loved to fix liver and onions. Ugh. I got to where I could gag down the liver. The onions I still can't do. Liver's not my favorite, I'm not going to lie. Okay? But, and I raised my daughters like that. You know who I don't raise like that? Those two little turds that sometimes sit over there and make noise. If Grandma fixes something they don't want to eat, guess what Grandpa does? We go get an ice cream sandwich out of the fridge or something like that. And then the dads just shake their heads and the girls browbeat me. What happened to, you have to eat whatever's fixed. Well, these guys are different. These guys are different. They're special. Becca and Harvey can do whatever they want. I can't tell you how many times I've wanted in my younger years. I mean, I would have spanked my kids for throwing stuff on the floor. Harvey does it. What do? I call the dogs. Or I happily go to the closet and get the broom and sweep it up. He is outgrowing that, thanks the Lord. But the lessons we teach our kids are lessons that will be taught to their kids and that will be taught to their kids. What a better lesson to teach than the cross and the resurrection. Fathers, if you have not invested, and you're all here, so I know this is not a dumb statement, but if you have not invested in your children the love and the grace of our King, our Savior, our all, start today. Start today. Because that is the story we want our children to pass on to our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren. That is our legacy. That is God's legacy through us. That is our Heavenly Father's legacy through us, is what happened on that cross and that resurrection tomb. And the joy that we get knowing because of that, where we will spend eternity. And then I'm going to go to Proverbs 17:6, just because I've already talked about these dudes. And Les kind of already hit on this. But grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. You know, and I never really understood that verse, and I still don't fully understand that verse. But grandchildren, man, those guys are cool. Those guys are cool. But you know what's even cooler? Is now when I see my dad or my father-in-law with their great grandsons, that is cool. That is cool. And the fact that those boys get to experience their great grandfathers. You know, my daughters never really, I mean, they did for a while, my grandma and grandpa, but they were pretty young still when and grandma and grandpa passed away. But they got to experience some of it. But those, when you see your father aging, when you see your father passing on his wisdom to a younger generation than you, that really hits home. That really hits home. You know, and I see that with Les. I see that with Les and Jax. And I see that with Paul and his grandkids and Verlton and his representation that's here today. I know that we are blessed to be in a situation of fathers and not just dads. Larry and his crew. So that the power of a father's presence, that's point number two. If you ever underestimate that, don't. If you ever think, fathers, you're not reaching home, don't stop. Because you're reaching home. You're reaching home. Point number three. We should choose manhood over cultural stereotypes. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all you do be done in love. You know, when you read that, you think, okay, you want men to be strong, but then you want them to do it in love. And when we think of love, we think of all gushy-gushy stuff, right? No, sometimes love is hard. Sometimes love is hard. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men and be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. That's a powerful verse. Because there's times when I did not stand firm in my faith. And then what did it do? It didn't let me act like a man. And it didn't let me do things in love either. When you think about that. When you're standing firm in your faith, it's easier to love people that don't love you back, right? When I was standing weak in my faith, man, if you didn't like me, I didn't. There was no brotherly love there. I couldn't stand you. When I stand firm in my faith, even though I don't agree with a lot of things people say, I can still love them as a Christian father. I can still love them because I hope that we're going to spend eternity together. Doesn't mean I like you all the time. But I love you in Christian fatherhood. And then Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. These are three things I wish we would incorporate into our government, because if we would walk in justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God, we'd be in a different situation in our country right now than we are today. Instead, we don't really care about justice. We care about vengeance more than we do justice. I love kindness. Think about your life out there in the world today. When you're kind, what happens? I don't know that people love kindness. They like it, but they take advantage of it. God does not want you to be a doormat because you're a Christian. But we must love kindness, and then we should walk humbly with our God. Do you really understand how much our God did for us? Do we really grasp that? Sometimes it's hard for me to grasp. And I keep just going back to the cross. And the fact that He sent, loves me enough to send His Son to die the death He did and to live sinlessly, get accused of something wrongly, and stay quiet and die on that cross as humbly as He did. And even when He was taking His last breath, one of His last words were, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That is the Father that we have. So if we understand what the Father did by sending Jesus and everything Jesus went through, how can we not walk humbly with God? Because against God, we are nothing. We can have all the money in the world. We can have all the all the cars and the greatest house and the greatest family and all that. Understand that even with all those worldly things, our Heavenly Father is infinitely greater than all of that. How can we not walk humbly in His presence? And then point number four, fathers have a gift of forgiveness and a gift of redemption. You know, and I've kind of alluded to that already. Fathers don't necessarily remember everything we did wrong as kids. I mean, I'm telling you, my brother and I, we were. In the barn where my sister lives, we used to go up there and have BB gun wars. We were the dumbest kids ever. You know, my grandfather never yelled at us for that. He took our BB guns away, but he never brought that up. And in fact, when I bring that up nowadays to my dad, he didn't even know it went on. That's the forgiveness a father has. Now, again, I'm going to correlate that to God's forgiveness. It's infinitely times more. Redemption. Just going to Google redemption because I want you to understand. The definition of redemption. Redemption. The act of buying back, regaining, or restoring something that was lost, exchanged, or held captive. Across different contexts, it refers to making amends for past mistakes, fulfilling a financial obligation, or being delivered from a spiritual bondage. The act of being delivered from sin, evil, or spiritual bondage, typically through sacrifice, forgiveness, or grace. So redemption is a big word. That's probably the greatest gift we can give our kids, is the gift of forgiveness and redemption. Thankfully, my grandfather, my father, has given that to me, because I'm not sure some of the stuff my brother and I did we should ever be forgiven for. We were bozos. But then, you know, funny story is, then you get Dad started on stories of when he was a kid. Man, no wonder he ain't mad. This guy stole his brother's Harley Davidson and used to go cruising up on Park Avenue. And my dad's this tall, okay? He's 5'5"-ish, 5'6"-ish. And his brother's considerably taller, but his brother was in over in Vietnam. So Dad was just doing his brotherly duties. He was taking his bike out so it didn't sit there and not run when he came back. Well, he was not tall enough that when he was straddling the Harley, he could touch the ground. But he had practiced enough that he learned to kick the kickstand down that would catch him. So he's up cruising Park Avenue with one of his buddies on this Harley. And I, knowing my dad, he was probably hot-dogging a little bit. He's not that much different than me. And he got to the stop sign, or stoplight, and he went to kick the kickstand down. It didn't kick down. It fell. Bike fell over on him. Scratched up the side. So, I mean, in retrospect, me shooting my brother with a BB gun is probably not that big a deal to my dad. Okay? But that, again, that goes back to the generations of generations of generations and the lessons we teach. There's other stories my dad could tell, will tell, and I'm not going to repeat them because some of you might know some of the people involved in them. But I think, man, my dad's not much different than me. Guys, we serve a father that is way different than us. And he gives us forgiveness and redemption beyond measure. Let's go to Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Anybody else have a good time with forgiveness? We're all great forgivers, right? I'll forgive you. Not sure. It's the forget part that I have a problem with. Forgiveness is usually not a problem. You do me wrong, I can forgive you. I'll say, you say you're sorry, we're good. But in the back of my mind, I'm not going to forget. Guess what? Our Heavenly Father forgives and forgets. And this verse is telling us that we must forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. That's how we should be as fathers. That's how we should be as men. Forgive and move on. And then Ephesians 4. I'm going to wrap up with Ephesians 4. Verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So how does all this relate to Father's Day? We've been given the example of fatherhood by our Heavenly Father. We've been given the example of what it means to be a Christian man living in this world by his son, Jesus Christ. We have the two greatest examples ever. Our job is to follow them. And I think in this room, most of us have done a pretty good job of doing that. Do we fall short at times? Sure we do. Men, we fall short a lot. You know what else God gave us? He gave us our soulmate, our wives, our girlfriends, our whatever, to be there to pick up the pieces when we fall short. If you think that that woman in your life was not handpicked by God, think again. Because I guarantee you, at least if you're like me, God put a voice of reason in your life. God put a sense of security in your life. God put a woman in your life that you needed to have in your life. To make you a better father. To make you a better Christian. To make you a better man. And part of fatherhood is understanding just how important that piece of the puzzle is. Guys, if you don't appreciate your wives, I don't know how you can be an exemplary father. And I fall short of this a lot. Chris does so much for me, I'd take it for granted most of the time. I wish she'd learn how to run a weed eater, though. I got this weed eater, it's new, and thing weighs about 112 pounds. It's a big one. It's got a chain harness. I mean, the first day I ran it was about a month ago, and I got blisters. I'm soft anymore. I got blisters all over, and I come in, Chris said, I don't know why you use that heavy thing. Well, because I don't like having to put string on the little cheap one I have all the time, or change batteries on the battery operated ones. So, man, but if she'd learned how to run a weed eater, it'd make my job of fathering a lot easier. And then she'll say, if you'd learn how to cook, it'd make my job of mothering a lot easier. But part of being a father is to understand where our shortcomings are and leaning on the people that we need to lean on to get us through those shortcomings. We've been given the ultimate example of fatherhood. We need to persevere, and we need to have the drive to be more like our Heavenly Father, to love like our Heavenly Father, to forgive like our Heavenly Father, to forget like our Heavenly Father. Guys, when we drive a wedge because we don't forget or we don't forgive, we're doing some damage. We need to walk the walk we walk in here out there. And if you've raised your kids and you're done raising your kids, I don't know that we're ever done raising our kids. I have a feeling Morgan's always going to call me when she runs out of gas and say, Dad, my car's not working. Huh? I'm aware, Morgan. I'm being sarcastic. You know, thankfully, Shelby and Lindsay are now Skylar and Nate's problems. But they still call because they want Dad's opinion. They still call their mother because they want their mother's opinion. They want their mother's fix. They want their father's fix. Listen, if your car's broke down, your car's broke down. I'm not a mechanic. What I can help you with is your spiritual journey. Sometimes. But our job as fathers never ends. We're always going to. And you know, the correlation is our Heavenly Father's job never ends because He always has His hand on us. Always. We are in His hand all the time. You know, you ever wonder why you get stuck at every red light and you get behind an Amish buggy and you get behind a truck? You ever wonder? And then you see the news that there was an accident that had you not been got behind that Amish buggy or had you not been stuck at that red light, you may have been involved in that accident. Understand, we're in our Father's hands. Men, as fathers, our job never ends. even once our kids are gone, we are still fathers to. I want you to all to understand, I consider each man in here a father to my three girls. You've helped with that responsibility. Now you pray for them, you lift them up, and I still consider you all fathers to my three ladies. You just got the easy part. You got to pray for them. I got the financial end of it. I tease. But as good fathers, we're not going to stop worrying about our children. Our God does not stop worrying about His children. He has us in His hand every single day with the end goal of being able to spend eternity with us. That is why God's done what He has done in our lives. Because He wants to prepare us for the kingdom that's coming. It's not that so we can say, man, I was $50 short this week, or man, I was, you know, that's not why our troubles here on earth are not to make tomorrow better. They're to make forever better. That's what our Heavenly Father has in mind. As fathers, we need to remember that our goal is we want to spend eternity with our children, with our grandchildren, with our community, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And when you look at it that way, fatherhood takes on a whole new role. So, you know, normally I do gift cards or whatever for everybody. I didn't do that this year, sorry. What I'm going to leave you with is this. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, has given you the greatest example on how to be a father. It's all in here. This is better than any gift card I can give you to Max and Irma's or B-Dubs or wherever. It's all in here. If you need one of these things, let us know. We'd be more than happy to supply you with a Bible. Get in here, dig into it. Dig into it. Son that's coming back to the prodigal son that's coming back, and just letting the Lord know that we're broken, we don't deserve it, and He'll take you back with open arms. I'm gonna leave you with this. We're gonna have a closing song, and it's a song of invitation. If you have something you need prayed for, if you need have something you need brought before the church, don't leave it. If you do not know that relationship I talk about with our Heavenly Father, let today be that day. Les will be here, I'll be here. We'll be more than happy to lead you through that. It's not because we're closer to God. It's not because God listens to us. Trust me. We go through the same things in our prayer lives that you go through. It's all about God's plan and God's timing. Now, the one thing I would like to do differently is, if you're a father or are ever going to be a father, I would like you to come forward. And we're going to pray as men together. And we have a gift here from the church that we'll give you at that point. But at the end of the song, I'd like all the men to come forward, and we'll pray here together. Ladies, if you'd like to pray over your man, and I want you to understand, fathers, the women in your life pray for you daily. Thank goodness for that. But I would like to pray as a group of men and young men together that God continues to guide and direct us as godly fathers. So we'll sing a song. If you have something you need, we're here. And at the end, I'd like all the men to come forward and we'll just pray together as a group. I'm going to